barring any unforeseen circumstances, this is going to be the last. We've been in Isaiah for about a year. I'd have to go back and look exactly when we started. I could do that pretty easily, but it's been about a year. So this is the final verses of Isaiah. I think it's the last, about 16 or 17 verses of Isaiah. And so if you would all stand today, and some of this is not going to make much sense, but I'm going to try to make it make sense to you. And there's so many verses today, I can't cover them all. On one hand, I'm afraid of not covering stuff. On the other hand, I'm afraid of bogging you guys down. And so I'll just say this. I know that a lot, and let me say this before we read. I know a lot of people, you come to church thinking, okay, I need to, quote unquote, get a word from the Lord or something like that. And a lot of times people are not, they want that kind of that personal word to them. And I'm not knocking that, but I heard a very wise man say, your worship, listen to this, your worship will never go deeper than your theology. If you have a shallow theology, then you can't worship a God that you don't know, okay? And the deeper your theology is, the deeper your worship can go. So is this kind of a theological look here today? Yes, it is. But folks, let's be theological, okay? And let's go to Isaiah 66 and verse 7. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Please remember that phrase, one day. We're going to talk about that. Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she brought forth her children. Verse 9, shall I bring to the point of birth and not cause to bring forth, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause to bring forth, shut the womb, says your God? Verse 10, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious abundance. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, and you shall be carried on her hip and bounced upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bones shall flourish like the grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and he shall show his indignation against his enemies. Gotta have a little darker turn here. It starts in verse 15. For behold, the Lord will come in fire and his chariots like the whirlwind to render his anger in fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will the Lord enter into judgment, and by his sword with all flesh, and those slain by the Lord shall be what? Many. Those who sanctify and purify themselves to go into gardens, following one in the midst of eating pig's flesh. He's talking about abominable religious practices here, eating pig's flesh and the abomination of mice, shall come to an end together, declares the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues. I'm going to try to make this kind of come alive for you. They shall come and shall see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to, and I'm going to cover this verse, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, or Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Javan,
and to the coastlands far away that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. Imagine all of the glory of the Lord that was going on over in the Holy Land. And while all of that was going on, what was going on in South America? The Incas, the Aztecs, what was going on there? But God was saying, I'm going to send them out to peoples that have not known my glory. And they shall, verse 18, they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them, and from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, Lud, who gather the bow, to Tubal, Javan, and the coastlands far away, and have not heard of my fame or seen my glory. They shall declare my glory among the nations. They shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in litters, on mules and dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And verse 21 is a bit perplexing. It says, and some of them also I will take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. If I can make one comment about that verse, we're about to be seated. Adam fell, and Jesus Christ is called the second man what? Let me put it to you this way. This might be a curveball to some of you, but he talks about a new heavens and a new earth, and I do believe that that's literally going to be fulfilled someday. I do believe in a literal fulfillment of that. But it was inaugurated when Jesus Christ came the first time. Because Adam was the first Adam. Jesus Christ was the second man, Adam. In other words, starting over a new creation again. And so the new heavens and the new earth, has it been fully realized? No, it has not. But has it been already inaugurated? Yes, it has. So when I make statements like, no, we are living in the age of the new heavens and the new earth, people just look at me and shake their head and say, you know what, there's medication for that. But really, seriously, it has not been fully realized yet, but it has been inaugurated. Okay? Anyway, so it says, verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh, when he says all flesh, he's meaning all nations. All nations, not just the nation of Israel, but all flesh, shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And verse 24 is the one we're going to end on, rather ominous. This is the last verse of the book of Isaiah, and it says, and they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. I'm going to try my best to explain that verse. I might succeed and I might fail. But if I could, for just a little while today, I'm going to be sensitive of the time, and I've purposely not put a lot of verses because I don't want to go too long. So I want to talk on Isaiah's prophecy fulfilled in New Testament times. The last prophecy of Isaiah fulfilled in New Testament times. Let's worship the Lord today. God, we're so thankful for you. Lord, we want to bless your name. You are great and you are greatly to be praised. There's none like you. Oh God, you alone are God. And we give you glory and we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts today, God. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated today. If you look at verse 7, I'm going to start throwing some things out. And in fact, before we go to verse 7, Bill, just for a moment, go to verse 8. Go to verse 8 for just a moment. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? Can I tell you right now what many believe about this verse? When I say many, I don't know if it's the majority. I don't know. But I'm going to say something that some of you might have heard preached before. I don't know. And maybe they're right and I'm wrong. Okay? I'm just going to give you my set of the facts here. Some people say that this was fulfilled in 1948 when Israel became a nation. Because the United Nations had a vote, and in one day, all of a sudden, boom, Israel was recognized as a sovereign nation, and you had a lot of preachers that began preaching and thundering, oh my goodness, Isaiah 66 just got fulfilled because Israel became a nation in one day. Because they were not recognized as a sovereign nation until 1948. And then boom, in one day they were. Isaiah 66 and 8 fulfilled, end of story. Please, you can go home now. Please don't forget to leave your offering. Okay? I'm going to throw what I think is something else for your consideration today. First of all, I want to say in this verse that you got to look at the language and what's going on. It says, before she was in labor, Wow, okay. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before her pain came upon her, she delivered a son. Now, we've had all these mothers standing up here today, and to be a mother, you've had to have a child. Was it just a wonderful, painless experience to any of you? I'm going to have Carl edit this out. When this little girl was in labor, Brother William, she would say, oh, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Her sister, when she's in labor, cussed like a sailor. Sister Wiggins was in the delivery room and she came out. She told me, she goes, man, I didn't even know that my sister could talk like that. Oh, my word. Well, you notice, let's be biblical here. What was the curse that God pronounced upon Eve in the Garden of Eden? Pain and sorrow bringing forth children when you're in your labor. And so, what Isaiah is saying here, and I want to show you Jesus Christ in Isaiah 66. What Isaiah was saying here, folks, is, it says before she, this is speaking of Zion, this is speaking of Jerusalem. Before she was in labor, she gave birth. Before pain came upon her, she already had a son. In other words, Isaiah was giving direction saying that there would be coming a Messiah. And that Messiah would be an undoing of the curse. The curse that fell upon Adam, the curse that fell upon Eve, began to be undone. And you say, well, Brother Wiggins, it still hurts a lot to have children. Yeah, I know. But the process, as Jesus Christ is the second man, Adam, he came to restore the earth and the world back to an Eden-like state. Because that he, Jesus Christ, is fulfilling the mandate that was given to Adam to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, fill the earth. And you know what? That is being fulfilled in the church as the church preaches the gospel through the nations. And if you look in verse 8, you say, well, man, I don't see the church in there. I don't see Jesus in there. Well, let's go to verse 8. It says, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in what? One day. shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? And you can fold your arms and say, well, Brother Wiggins, as far as I'm concerned, that sounds like 1948 to me. That's fine. No hard feelings. No hard feelings. But let's look at this language here. Shall a nation be brought forth in a moment? When you go into the book of 1 Peter, when Peter is addressing the New Testament church, the New Testament people of God, people that just weren't Jews, but they were being comprised of all nations. Brother Johnson, that New Testament church only stayed all Jewish for just a few years, and then all of a sudden, here came the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. Here came the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. And then all of a sudden, Paul becomes the apostle of the Gentiles, and it starts going to all these different nations. And Peter says, if you can go to 1 Peter there, Brother Bill, Peter says, you are a chosen, speaking to the New Testament people of God, you are a chosen generation, a what? A royal priesthood, and a what? What did he call the church? A holy nation. So can we all agree that the church was called a nation? A holy nation, the nation of God. Well, now let's go back to that verse in Isaiah, Bill, if we can. Who's heard such a thing? Who has brought such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation, the New Testament church, be brought forth in one moment? For as soon as Zion, and I hate putting people on the spot, but Eunice, I'll put you on the spot because I think you already know this. Zion is just another word for what? Say it good and loud. Zion is just another name for Jerusalem. That's all it is. So here is this holy nation coming forth in one day. And where's it? And Zion's going to bring it forth. Jerusalem's going to bring it forth. Can anybody see something coming together here? Acts chapter 2, Bill, I don't know if I've got it in there. You notice it talks about one single day, Brother William. It talks about one single day in Acts chapter 2. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, set upon each of them, and they all spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If I could preach this whole thing that fast, I'd be done in 10 minutes. But when the day of Pentecost came, it was one day. And in one day, a nation was born. 120 people got the Holy Ghost right there, that upper room experience, Brother William. But if you look on down, it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40 and 41, Peter was preaching, and it says, with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, or as it says in the King James Version, and with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or this crooked, or this evil generation. Verse 41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about what? In one day, Brother William, 3,120. What happened on the day of Pentecost? A nation was born. Go back to 66 and 8 of Isaiah. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Isaiah 66 and 8 got fulfilled, not in 1948 by the United Nations voting Israel to be recognized as a nation. Isaiah 66 and 8 was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, folks, when the church was brought forth. The holy nation, as Peter calls it. The holy nation. Are you following me on this? Are you following me on this? This is what fulfilled that's what fulfilled verse 8. And you look at what started happening, and I can't cover all these verses. Let me go down to verse 19. Verse 19, he says, I will set a sign among them. This is Isaiah. Yeah, Bill, you got it. You're right on top of this. And from them I will send survivors to the what? Nations. I'm going to send from this nation that got born, Brother William, in one day. I'm going to send some out. And they're going to go to the nations. They're going to go to Tarsus. Where's Tarsus? Spain. Pul. P-U-L. Anybody want to take a guess? Mesopotamia, between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. Then you've got Lud. And you've got Tubal. And then you've got Javan. Anybody want to take a shot at Javan? Greece. It's Greece. In other words, he's saying, listen, I'm going to be sending them out, not just into the area where there are Jews. This thing is going to go open up and it's going to become worldwide. And it's going to go to all flesh or all nations. In fact, the very last, after it says Javan, if I can find my little pointer, oh my goodness, I have lost the pointer. Here it is, okay. I thought I'd lost the pointer. Javan, which is Greece, and to the coastlands afar off. In other words, that's just a Hebraic way of saying to the lands that are out there. You know, like when Captain Kirk used to tell Scotty, go somewhere. You know, just go that way. And some of you don't understand what I'm talking about. That's all right. I'll explain our service, but that's what was going to happen. This nation that was going to be born. They were going to go to the coastlands. They were going to go to Liberia, Brother William. They were. They're going to go to the nations all over and go to nations that had never heard of my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among those nations. And then guess what they're going to do from some of those nations? And let's just see if we can make this text make sense here, if we can. And I'm skipping some of my verses. In verse 21, it says, Isaiah 66 and 21, it says, some of them also I will take for what? You say, William, this is where it gets confusing. If you try to take this literally, it'll never make sense. You've got to understand this allegorically. And that when he's talking about Jerusalem, he's not talking about the physical Jerusalem that's sitting over there right now. He's talking about the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. As I believe the Apostle Paul said, and Bill, I've got it in there somewhere. I can't remember the passage it says, but Galatians, the passage in Galatians, is it 4? Galatians 4, where it says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. It says Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman, one by a free woman, the son, and then go to the next, just trying to skip through this too fast. I want to not get you bogged down. Verse 25. Now Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the physical Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But verse 26 says, but Jerusalem, the Jerusalem which is above, she's our mother. Or as the King James says, she's the mother of us all. And that's what's going on here. So now, going back to verse 21, if you try to take this literally, it'll never make sense. But look at verse 21. Carl, how many easy questions for you? How many tribes of Israel? Sounds good to me, 12. Now, how about if the tribe of Judah, some of those guys said, man, I want to be a priest. Could they become priests? Not really, huh? Well, how about tribe of Benjamin? Certainly, you're not going to let any of the Benjamites be priests either. Huh, well, that's disappointing. Why? Who were the priests, Carl? The Levites, and Sister Carmen, you said the Levites. Only the tribe of Levi could be the priesthood. It doesn't matter who you want to be. In the Old Testament law, the way the Old Testament law was set up, only the Levites could be priests. But Isaiah is talking about a time that they're going to go, and these men are going to go out into foreign lands, and they're going to proclaim and declare the glory of God. And they're going to gather up a people and bring them. When it says bring them to Jerusalem, it's talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. And it says that some of those people from Spain, Tarshish, some of those people from Mesopotamia, some of those people from Liberia, I'm going to make priests and Levites. You say, how's that possible? God's saying, listen, in this New Testament covenant, it doesn't matter whether you're born. It doesn't matter what kind of stock you're born from. People that you might not have been born a Levite, but you can have a prominent place in God's kingdom, a prominent place in God's household, God's religious system. It doesn't matter. God was saying, Isaiah was saying, there's coming a day that it's not going to matter whether you were born a Levite. You can be a priest unto the Most High God, whether you were born a Levite or not. Because Jesus told Nicodemus what? You must be born again. You've got to be born from above. You've got to have a spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth can put you into the kingdom to where you can be a priest. Peter even said it in that passage that we read. He says, you are a what? A royal. He wasn't talking to a bunch of Levites there in 1 Peter chapter 2. What was he? He was talking to the church. And he called them. This is the last place I want to go. And I've skipped a bunch of my verses. But if I read all my verses, I would be too long. So I want to go to verse 23 and verse 24. These are the last two verses of Isaiah 66. And these verses have confused me for years. These verses have made me just be confused for years. From new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh, that means all nations, shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is speaking of the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And Isaiah does something. Please hang on to this. I can do this in 5 minutes. And please, I want you to have this in your head. I really do. I really do. Isaiah used the natural Jerusalem to make a very deep theological point about the heavenly Jerusalem. You got that? He uses the natural Jerusalem, the one that's sitting over there today, to make a deep theological point about the heavenly or the new Jerusalem. And here's what it says. It says, verse 24, the last verse of Isaiah. They shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched. And they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Now, will anybody admit, you just say, Brother Wiggins, I'm tapping out. I have no idea. Bill admits, okay, thank you. Everybody else has it all figured out, Bill. I guess me and you were the less intelligent ones. Here's what I'm going to say about this, and you may or may not agree. Right out here in Hillsboro, on the outside of town, if you want to throw away your recliner because it's broken, it's too big to go in the trash can, right? So what do? You take it to the what? Huh? Take it to the dump. Well, in Bible times, on the south end of Jerusalem was this narrow, deep valley, kind of like a canyon. And it was called the Valley of Hinnom, or the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. Or in Greek, I believe you would call that Gehenna. Anybody heard that name, that term used before, Gehenna? Gehenna, or the Valley of Hinnom, goes way back into the Old Testament times. You had wicked kings, some of the kings of Israel that were idolaters, and they would practice child sacrifice. If you'll go dig out your Old Testament, you'll find that those kings that practiced child sacrifice did it, you guessed it, in the Valley of Hinnom. Okay? And at the time of Jesus, this Valley of Hinnom, or Gehenna as it was called, was the dump. It was the dump. To where, if you had your trash, you took it out there. But also, this is the kind of the disgusting part. Are you ready for the disgusting part? You say, man, why would you say this on Mother's Day? You have a criminal that got executed. In those days, did they want to spend the money to bury them? He's a murderer. After they executed the criminal, what did they do with their bodies? To the dump? Okay. I'm on solid historical ground here. They would take the bodies of the criminals and wouldn't even suffer to bury them. They would just throw them in the dump. And what? There was perpetual fires always burning there. And their bodies would be burned. And what flesh didn't get consumed by the fires, there were worms. This is disgusting. But there were worms that would eat the rest of the flesh. And that's why it says, if you'll, to the ancient Hebrew mind, this becomes very, they know, the ancient Hebrew mind, they knew what Isaiah was talking about here, where it says, and they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me, for their worm shall not die and their fire shall not be quenched. In other words, here is the illustration that Isaiah was drawing. If you look at verse 23 and verse 24, Bill, if you can throw, let's leave it. Yeah. And you can all stand. You can all stand. I'm going to close my laptop lid just to prove to you that I'm done. From new moon to new moon, from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come. So imagine them coming to the temple, coming to the New Jerusalem to worship, which is what we've done this morning. Are you with me there? Isaiah took the natural Jerusalem to illustrate a spiritual point, that they would come to worship. And then it was like they were leaving the temple after service, and they would be going back home, Brother Johnson. And they would pass by the Valley of Gehenna. And they would look over and see the burning, charred bodies. Here they've just come from the house of the Lord, worshiping the Most High God. They are recipients of His grace. They are recipients of His favor. They are justified in His sight. They are His children. They are a holy nation. And they look over in that trash dump and they see the charred bodies of rebels and criminals burning. And they say, oh God, that could have been me had you not saved me. Had you not had mercy on me. Had you not turned me around. God, had you not woke me up. My heart was dark. My heart was hard. You didn't fix my old heart. You gave me a new heart. And Isaiah makes the illustration of, it's as though they were leaving the house of the Lord. And as they're leaving the city limits of Jerusalem, they look down in that valley, Gehenna. And they say, oh God, I can smell the stench. And oh God, that could have been me. That could have been me. That could have been me. And as morbid as this verse ends, it just makes me so thankful to say, hey, Lord, I do not deserve the mercy and the grace that you have given me. And I look down into Gehenna and I say, Lord, I'm no better than any of them. The only thing that makes me any different from them is that you reached down and you redeemed me. You reached down and you washed me in your own blood. You filled me with your spirit. You gave me a new heart. God, I can claim zero credit for my salvation. The only thing I contributed to my salvation was the sin that made it necessary. But oh God, and they shall go out and look on the dead bodies as they're leaving the house of God. You see, verse 23, they're going up to the house of the Lord. Then in verse 24, they're going out from the house of the Lord. And they look on the bodies of the men, the rebels, the criminals. Oh God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Let's gather around front for just a few moments if we can.
Draws me to your side. be like you, and your favor is my delight. Every day I'll awaken my praise and pour out a song from my heart. You
If I can just make one more point in your hearing, I'll not even take 60 seconds. So do you guys understand how Isaiah was taking that valley of Hinnom and drawing a parallel? Has anybody ever read the verse in Matthew where Jesus says, if your eye offend you, pluck it out? For it's better to go without one of your eyes than to have both eyes. And Jesus says to burn in, King James says, hell. Greek, Gehenna. Then Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, it'd be better to cut off your right hand than to burn in hell. Jesus said, Gehenna. What was Jesus doing? Taking a natural place, something in the natural, and using it to illustrate a spiritual point about hell. And if you look at, remember Jesus says, don't be afraid of the man that can kill you, your body. Be afraid of him who is able to kill both body and soul and throw you into hell. Greek, Gehenna. You're saying, well, Jesus was just saying that hell is just a dump yard outside of Jerusalem. No. Oh, no. Jesus was using something in the natural to make a theological statement about another place. And I'll just say, I think that Isaiah was doing the same thing. The valley of Hinnom. And God, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Let's lift our hands one more time. God, I thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. Bless your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.